Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bond. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of June 29th, 2015. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Joe.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
And let's jump right in because we have a bunch of stuff to talk about as usual. And a couple big trailers came out this week to kick things off. I mean, we got the first trailer for Creed, which
not the Christian rock band biopic.
Unfortunately, no.
Damn, one day.
One day.
That'd probably be called Take Me Higher or something.
Yeah.
They have like a subtitle on it. Like Creed : Can You Take Me Higher?
/ Do you got any money for drugs?
But yeah, so this is the I guess the 7th entry in the Rocky series. But it's actually following Apollo Creed's son, Adonis Johnson Creed.
No.
I already hate him, you know, like
his name's Adonis.
Adonis.
And he
is this just Sly Stallone like trolling black people, like a really elaborate troll. He's like, "Hey, they got crazy names. We're gonna name him Adonis."
Like, maybe in the 80s or 90s, but, like, 2000, that just seems kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like that like, crazy, like, period of names is kind of over. Like, it had its height, like, in the late 90s, mid-2000s for, like, the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. DeBrickashaw, Ferguson, stuff like that. Now it's kind of like, oh, no, they're going back to John and, like, Frank.
Well, it's like, after that Caden Peele skit, anything that's kind of, like, comical.
Yeah, they have pretty much like closed that chapter.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. With both the NFL and like the Substitute Teacher sketches, they have like. But yeah. So Adonis, anyway, he is. I guess he's also a boxer, and he goes to Rocky to train him for like a championship fight, where he's got like a shot at the title or something. So Rocky's basically Mick now.
Which is nice, because that's the full circle. Mm. But my question is, like, how old was this kid when his father died? Like, -10?
That's what everyone's wondering, is, like, so, like, if Rocky IV takes place in the year it came out, which is, like, 85, like, and then I think they say, like, how old Adonis is, or, like, people are saying, like, or I think they're just basing on, like, how old Michael B. Jordan is. Like, it's, like... Like, Apollo, like, fathered him, like, 2 years after he died or something. So it's just, like,
when... Well, because, yeah, he aged out as a boxer, because he would be, like, 36 or something like that. Because,
Apollo never, like, they never mentioned, like, that he has any kids.
I think he might have had a kid in the second movie, in his mansion, just people over there.
He just bought a kid.
No, I just remember, like, there were people in his house. I don't remember if, like, he was, like, son, like... You know, he wasn't worried about his family, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then, like, in Russia where he died, like, nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, when he killed the Russian, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm even thinking, like, I think the original screenplay was, this is supposed to be his grandson, right? That makes more sense, if it's his grandson.
I don't remember, like, originally what, it was just, like, and it was, I thought it was always Apollo's son, but...
I think it was Apollo's son in, like, 2000, but like now it's 2015, so it's like you already miss your chance. Like, they can't be like, no one wants to watch a really out of shape bum fight.
They'll massage the timeline to make it work.
They'll Days of Future Past it.
Mm.
Massage that timeline.
But yeah,
I'm just saying, because his son's like kind of young, so I'm like, this makes no sense.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it looks pretty good. Like, it's definitely in that, like, it's picking up from Rocky Balboa, where it's gonna be like more serious.
So Rocky's not gonna go to Iraq.
No, but
and fight like ISIS's best boxer or something.
No, he's fighting the more deadly enemy, which is cancer.
Oh,
himself.
Wait, Rocky has cancer in
yep,
this one?
Yep.
Oh.
They don't like explicitly state it. I think they might have said it like in like the run up to it, but like in the actual official summary, they're like, and Rocky has to face an enemy more deadly than any he's ever faced before, or something like more dangerous.
Pills.
Meth.
Yeah.
What about like the one thing I've noticed in this thing is like none of his family or friends are with Rocky.
No, Adrian died. I think Polly died.
Jesus.
His son. I think I don't know what happened after Rocky Balboa, but like he was.
His son got fired.
Then like
his son left his like state job to go be with that boxing match. I'm pretty sure he's fired.
Yeah.
And then, like, the girl he was kind of, like, hanging out with, what happened to her? Or that black kid? Or that dog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything Rocky loves dies. Or loses its job.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I would have liked to see Duke come back. You know, I would like to see Duke be around. Duke is the black guy that trained Apollo.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also trained Rocky in
Rocky IV. Apollo,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's like...
I said in Apollo Creed.
And, like, he's actually a pivotal character, because he's the one who, like, you know, trains Apollo to be Apollo, and then it's like, then, like, when Creed kind of goes away, like, so did Duke in a sad way, you know? Indeed. So I'm like, it'll be nice if, like, he tried Duke first, but Duke's also dead. So that's also kind of sad, too, which is like, oh, yeah, that's why I turned to Rocky.
Well, he goes to that guy in the beginning. I don't know who that is. That's because it's definitely not Duke, but who then, or...
It's like Duke Light. It's just some guy.
Tap the Rockies, Duke
And he's just
Light.
Like, you should go find that Rocky Balboa guy.
The legendary Rocky Balboa.
I do like there's like, it seems like there's gonna be a bunch, like some good, like Apollo references. Like, he's wearing the shorts at the end, looks like, and then they mentioned like the Rocky 3 fight.
Like yeah.
The ding ding. Just for us fight.
But then, okay, here comes a shit move on Rocky's part where, like, when Rocky's all like, where'd you hear this tale about? And it's like, my dad, I'm also Creed's son. It's like, Rocky, what the fuck, man? Yeah, it's just like, you didn't know your best friend
your
had
best
a son?
Friend. Yeah.
It's like, that's fucking. Yeah, I mean, just like, what, you didn't know this kid existed at all? Like,
Apollo, yeah, like, Apollo didn't mention it when he was getting his face slammed by Ivan Drago.
Is that what he was trying to tell me? Kid, what?
Oh, man. It would be amazing if, like, Adonis comes into the ring with, like, James Brown playing everything, like a giant head.
I think it has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
and Dolph Lundgren comes back. It's just like, I'm sorry about your father.
Oh my, it'd be awesome if like his son is actually the opponent or something.
Dolph Lundgren, yeah, like Ivan Drago has a son. No, he's an actual boxer, Tony Bellew.
Yes.
I think
boxing stuff.
And I think his name in the Rocky universe is Pretty Ricky Conlon or something.
So he's not Spider Rico?
No.
Damn.
Or Mason the Line Dixon.
You were running Mason the Line Dixon in this universe.
Yeah. Well, he won the fight, and then...
Yeah, so then he just, like...
You did good, kid.
Get out of my movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Creed is coming out in November. So I think November 25th, so right in time for Thanksgiving.
Good. The holiday movie the whole family can enjoy.
Well, I think Rocky Balboa came out Thanksgiving, so it's like a very traditional time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Give thanks for Rocky.
And Grudge Match was Christmas Day when that came out, so...
Well, that was a gift from God itself, so...
So another trailer we got this week, and the first look at is London Has Fallen, which is the sequel to Olympus Has Fallen, which I think we're all fans
of. Nice.
Clearly the superior of the two Die Hard and the White House movies. Anyone who thinks White House Down is the better one is
White House is dumb. Sorry.
I do like that Channing Tatum has like the respect to make fun of it in 22 Jump Street.
Mm-hmm.
Where he makes fun of like being a guy in a White House protecting it.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, if anything, it's just like something to his like career, you know? It's not a great movie. It's not super terrible.
It's just compared to Olympus Has Fallen, though, where it's like Olympus Has Fallen is like it's like sleek, like old school, like 80s action with like an R rating and like Gerard Butler stabbing people in the face with knives, and then like White House Down is like this like bloated Michael Bay, well, Roland Emmerich
wannabe.
Yeah, it's basically like Roland Emmerich trying to do The Rock and failing. But anyway, so yeah, so Olympus Has Fallen is the one getting the sequel, and it's Gerard Butler going with President Aaron Eckhart to London for the funeral of the Prime Minister, and then Terrorist Tech London, so now they have to get out of London.
I do like how America is trying to take care of it, you know what I mean? Like, probably Gerard Butler's like, I'm taking over, like, I'm in charge of London now.
It's like when Jack Bauer was in London.
Well, like was he a official person in London, or was he just?
So he showed up, like that was when he was like super on the run. And everyone like he's like the most wanted person in America, and then like the president's like when he shows up, the president's like, "Well, I'll give you like 24 hours, Jack, and you can solve this."
Then I'm taking you down.
Well, because I'm like. If, you know what I mean, like, London can't keep its shit together. Like, they can't send their version of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
I think Gerard Butler just teamed up with, like, a MI6 agent or something.
Oh, okay.
He's to team up with James Bond.
He's teaming up with Jason Statham.
Actually, I would see the shit out of that.
Yeah, that would be fucking amazing. Gerard Butler and Jason Statham. But yeah, did you guys see that trailer?
Not I did yet. Not, no.
It was.
Very, I don't need it.
It was very teasery. It was like, the whole first 3 seconds was like, you saw Olympus Has Fallen, right? Well, here comes the sequel.
Oh, it's falling again.
And then there's actually a crazy shot of like, you know, like the guards who are in front of Buckingham Palace, like pulling machine mm-hmm. guns out and sort of like shooting at terrorists with machine guns.
Oh, like them actually doing their job?
Yeah, which you've never—I don't think you've ever seen before. Like them, like kicking ass. So that's
one's ever awesome. Seen. Them.
Yeah,
I thought that was.
I haven't. Ass. Not too many movies predict like show that. You know, like they don't predict the guards actually being active.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen a lot of people like fucking with guards online, but never them actually like shooting anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it just looks like the kind of the same stuff from the first one, which is just like Gerard Butler just like. Stabbing and shooting people, hanging off of cars and like blowing up cars and like blowing up buildings.
Totally fine with.
Yeah,
yeah. It seems like it's more. It's like the Die Hard with a Vengeance, like kind of escalation where it's like now it's like the whole city. So that's going to be out January next year, so keep an eye out for that one. Also got the new trailer for Legend, which is coming up this fall. I don't know if you guys have seen that one, but it's starring Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy.
Yeah. Oh.
The Chelsea twins? This is the second time they second or third time they remade this movie.
They made a movie about these twins before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Cray twins.
Yeah, they're
big UK gangsters in the 60s.
Yep, they were just like these dudes wearing suits, like fucking around with the London gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one version I watched it, it was actually like the, it was like, it looked like the Pretenders, because it's like real life twins they actually hired. But this time they just like fuck that, just double on Tom Hardy.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, so this is them, Tom Hardy playing both twins, and like them kind of like a, it looks like the American mob shows up and is like, hey, we want you to run a casino.
Yep.
And a bunch of other stuff. It's actually it's written and directed by Brian Helgeland, who wrote LA Confidential and a bunch of other stuff. So, and a pretty awesome side cast too. Like it's got like Chaz Palminteri, Taron Egerton from Kingsman, David Thewlis, Christopher Eccleston.
Sounds pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like it's gonna be a pretty awesome like crime
film,
crime thriller. Yes, that's gonna be out in October, so you can look out for that one too. And then last trailer for this week is we got our first full trailer for Rick and Morty season 2.
Very cool.
Which looks just completely insane as usual. It's pretty much nothing but just, like, crazy aliens and, like, insane gadgets and, like... it does look like... It looks like one episode might be, like, some sort of weird, like, it's two parallel, like, Earths, but it's, like, it's split-screen the entire time, so, like, it's things are happening at both Earths in the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're doing another episode where it's just, like, they're watching, like, the weird, like, interdimensional TV. It's, like, just random stations. Which is, I think they said it's gonna be like an annual like thing.
Oh, the alternate worlds.
Yeah, the alternate like the alternate dimensional like TV stations they get. So yeah, it's finally starting back up in July or the end of this month. So on the 26th, I believe. So be sure to watch Adult Swim for that one. It feels like it's been, like, forever since the last season. Because it ended, like, last spring or something. It was, like, because it was in more of the normal, like, TV season.
The first season was only 13 episodes.
I think so, yeah.
And, not everyone was, like, some of them are, I only caught a handful, so I don't remember too much. And the popularity for those 11 episodes, like, really, really started a cult following of people, you know? Like,
yeah, I think it was up against, Archer for, like, the Archer Vice season. I think it won, it was, like, ratings-wise, I think it beat Archer, like, every week.
Holy fuck.
And it's, like, Adult Swim's, like, highest-rated show.
No. Really? I'm not just saying, like, it should.
Yeah, people fucking love that show, man.
But I'm just saying, like, wow, that's pretty impressive for a show that, like, when it began, like, no one cared, you know?
Yeah.
I like the show. Like, I really like the fact that, like, it got super popular in 1 year that, like, it was on The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
For that, like, one couch gag. So we'll see. Definitely look forward. Definitely want to interview the guys again.
We'll have to see at Comic-Con this year if they're what's going on with Adult Swim.
Yes, we will.
Except like those panels are, or those press rooms are like just insanity now.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on to other news. We got some disappointing news about two upcoming cool sounding projects. So Skull Island, which is the sequel, like as prequel reboot to King Kong, no longer has J.K. Simmons or Michael Keaton in it.
Either one of them dropping out would have been disappointing enough, but both?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I wonder why. Was it because, like,
maybe Michael it Keaton, sucks.
Well, what was Michael Keaton and J.K. Simmons like, we won things. Like, we don't need to be fighting.
Legitimately think that's the case.
If they didn't win for Whiplash or Birdman, I bet they'll be, like, on this island going, like, check out this awesome bug! Ah! Now it's like, look at this shiny statue. Well, who am I? Guillermo de who?
Well, I don't. I think Michael Keane's gonna be in that, movie about the founder of McDonald's.
Is it called
The Founder? It's called Robble Robble. I think he just signed up. He signed up for like some sort of comic adaptation too,
Batman
Dream Police or something, or some like. It sounds like Men in Black, but they fight kids in nightmares or something, or they fight. It's like Dream Men in Black or something. It sounds weird. And then I'm sure J.K. Simmons is just in a ton of stuff because he just shows up everywhere. But I think Tom Hiddleston is still starring in it, so. That's pretty much all we have at this point. And it's supposed to be coming out 2017. And then the other project that it's definitely less exciting now is that Guillermo del Toro is no longer working on Justice League Dark.
No.
Which is going to be the probably awesome team up of like Constantine, Swamp Thing, Dead Man. Who else was on that team? Like,
anyone and everyone.
Yeah, all the weird, crazy DC characters.
Damn, why do you think that is, man?
Well, they did have a big, some sort of big shakeup with, because Warner Bros. I guess they gave the rights. Anything that wasn't like proper like DC universe, like all the Vertigo adaptations are in the works and like all the a bunch of other stuff, they moved all those to New Line, I think.
Ooh. Oh,
Sandman is now going to be a New Line movie, not a Warner Bros. Movie. And I think there was a couple other like Vertigo adaptations in the works. I guess this one might have been on the edge of that or something. Because Warner Bros. just wants to handle like the proper DC universe.
It's weird that they have like farming companies for this now, where it's like, oh, you want to make this movie? Like, we'll send it to like one of our sister companies somewhere.
It's like reverse Marvel, where it's like Marvel's trying to get back all their rights, and now DC's just like, here, take this.
This won't bite us in the ass.
We won't want this in a couple years.
We'll buy back later. I mean, it's a good plan for like these smaller companies to get something big, that if it gets super popular, like DC's gonna come crawling back, and Warner Brothers seems like, oh well, I want the rights back. Well, who knew? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to pick a thing. I'm thinking of like their version of like Daredevil, where it's like someone, you know, like it is really popular, but then explode it for like just crazily, you know. I mean, I also say Constantine was good, but then it's like they let that die. Those they're statistic bastards. They're gonna let, like, I don't know, they don't care. Care about shit.
Yeah, they spread like all their show. Like, there's a DC show in every single network, basically.
Yeah, and they're playing the odds. They're like, we've got five or six shows going at once in the DC, right? One of them has to make us more money. Like, one of them has to make all the money back. And so far, it's been Arrow and The Flash.
Yep.
So, like, they're going with that route. But that's why they're ignoring, like, all these other, like, gambles, basically. They're just like, yeah, we'll put it out there. Like, we'll eat the loss for whatever, but we'll make the money back in, like, DVD sales or, you know, rentals. I don't know. And I'm just like, this is insane how... That's why it's, like, no love for their TV show, other shows.
Mm-hmm.
At least Marvel tries. Like, they fuck up... Yeah, I'm not saying this as a sheriff. They fuck up a lot, but, I mean, at least they try. And they actually hear back from the community.
They should still do like a Justice League Dark like animated movie or something.
Yeah, why not?
That's why I thought the cartoon was like the Tim Bruce one was like kind of fringing on that.
It's not like Justice League Dark, because like Justice League Dark is like the weird, it's like the Constantine Swamp Thing, like weird like occult magic team. But like
right.
But, yeah, just the one that's coming up is like alternate universe where like they're all just like super, just like crazy ruthless and like murdering people.
Well, like the Superman. Well, not the Superman's kind of messed up.
So the Gods and Monsters was coming up a couple weeks here. Like Superman is the son of General Zod now, and then like Batman is actually Kirk Langstrom, so he's a vampire.
Oh, dear.
And then Wonder Woman's not Wonder Woman. It's like Becca, who's like a new god, and she's just like completely like
she, but she's just like Wonder Woman,
basically, yeah.
But with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that.
Yeah, those shorts were awesome. So hopefully the movie will be awesome. Like the most disturbing Harley Quinn that's ever been on screen.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So yeah, so anyway, moving on to other news. We got the first details about the upcoming Power Rangers reboot movie.
It's Morphin Time.
Yeah. We should also mention it's the it was the 20th anniversary of the first movie this week as well.
Morphin Time.
Ivan Ooze.
I'm just a space Jew. Goo on things. Like, I remember, like, being little, but going, something about this seems very wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, is this just Saban?
I'd be offended.
And, like, I was like, is Saban, like, anti-Semitic? But I'm like, no, Saban's Jewish himself, so this is, like, his version of, like, it's self-hating Jew hate. I'm like, I don't understand this. Like, why would he hire, like, a purple goo, like, monster man that is definitely, like, a stereotype Jewish
some
person.
Sort of a weird caricature, yeah.
Yeah, like, he is what Nazi propaganda is. Like, I don't understand why this is happening.
Behold, Goebbels' sick dream come to life!
Right, because, like, if you think about that movie, he was a guy who gave away products to children to lure them away to throw on their parents to, like, kill the parents and then kill the kids? Like, it's a weird thing. Do you remember that when he was a clown in the beginning of that movie?
Oh, yeah.
And he's promoting the goo, and he's like, hey, kids, buy my goo. Like, throw it in your parents' face.
Yep.
Leave it around how? Like, it was such a scammy thing. And I always thought, like, something about that didn't seem right. Like, on a not in a show level, you know, like, something.
Right, right, right. They're definitely like, yeah, now... okay, Saban, you son of a bitch, you want to make this movie? Huh? All right, have your movie. But you're going to hate us by the time this is over.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, there's going to be a few changes. You're not going to be happy.
Yeah, yeah. Have you read the new script? Oh, God. Yeah. You like that, don't you?
And the crazy thing is, he's like the, you know, end all be all in that production. And, like, how did this slip past him?
That's a fine question.
Was he just counting money and not paying attention?
1 million? 2 million? 3 million? Oh, lost count.
So the new movie, which I got, when is,
yeah,
I think it's coming out in, when was that supposed to come out? I think 2017, maybe?
Seems about
right. I don't think it's next year, because they haven't even, like, cast it or done anything yet, so, unless they start shooting, like, end of this year or something, but, I guess some plot details got revealed, sort of like the beginning of the movie, and yeah, it's basically a full on reboot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Ooh.
It's all the same characters: it's Jason, Zach, Kimberly, Trini, and Billy. And it starts out with like Zordon and like the original Power Rangers, like an original group of Power Rangers, like fighting,
and they're all brutally murdered.
Basically, like, they're in, it's like 65 million, they're in the Cretaceous period, so it's like, they're fighting Rita while dinosaurs are around, and then Zordon detonates a black hole to, like, stop Rita.
Yeah, maybe this actually did happen in the TV show, and he doesn't mention to, like, the new guys, because it's like, he doesn't want to scare them off.
It does seem a little prehistoric, doesn't it? Where it's like, hey, are we in the middle of, like, the desert? Isn't Angel Grove that way? No, I'm in prehistoric times.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so anyway, so then And all the Power Rangers are all like 16 now.
No. No, that's weirder.
And yeah, Billy and Jason are friends, and then and Jason is dating Kimberly, and then Billy has them like gets everyone to go find like this because he found like a Tyrannosaurus skeleton or something, and then they find the power coins, and then like it's basically then they basically like turn into the Power Rangers because when they find the coins or something.
I forgot the coin thing. Yeah, and then, that was just like the power. I always forget about that too. Yeah, like they forget that near the end. They just like don't mention the coin so much.
Mm-hmm. And then Rita is trying she ends up in Russia, after 65 million years, and then is trying to like gather gold to rebuild Goldar.
Oh, here comes the Jewish references.
And there's something where, like, they have, like, 71 hours to stop Rita before she rebuilds Goldar and destroys the world or something.
So Goldar is, like, now, like, this master-level monster? Because I remember him being the comical monster that just got more retarded as the show.
Yeah, it seems like he'll probably be, like, the main monster.
Okay.
So it sounds kind of like Michael Bay ish it sounds like more like the Ninja Turtles reboot or whatever, where it's like you mean, slightly more insane and kid friendly, or trying to be kid friendly.
Slightly more insane. I don't understand how this is either kid friendly, because it's like you're gonna have to bring up the fact that the first team died, even though the first team is probably a bunch of cavemen, right? I don't even get that part.
Unless they were, like, aliens or something. It's like, but then why are they just, like, why do they care about, like, saving primitive Earth?
Yeah, it's like, well, we gotta protect these cavemen and dinosaurs from Rita, who... Are they speaking English? Because English wasn't invented yet. Like, I don't understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
So, and then how would Zordon, like... I'm trying to remember, like, what the hell Zordon was originally before it became, like, the tube version.
Like
a guardian? Like a space guardian?
Well, in the first movie, he basically turns into like Marlon Brando or something. Because they break the tube, he's just like this like old fat man in like a pajamas.
Rangers, help.
Yeah, what kind of life is Zordon, where he's just confined to this like chamber where if he leaves, he dies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember in the seventh or eighth season of the Power Rangers, they break the tube.
Well, they break the tube in the movie, definitely.
No. I meant like at the end of the TV show where they killed Zordon to release the good, and it fixes some of the villains from the other shows.
Yeah, like it transforms like Rita and stuff, right? And they become good or something.
Yep. I mean, like that was like season 9 or something. seven or nine.
Long after Jump the Shark.
I kept watching it, man. I watched it up until, like, Ninja Storm. So, I fucking watched that to death. But it got me eventually. Once they were talking about New Zealand Mystic Force, I was like, okay, no more of this.
What's the most recent one? Like, is it Dino Thunder or something, or is it they passed that?
They passed that. Now it's like
Samurai something.
No, that was Samurai was after Dino, because remember after Ninja Storm came the Dino, and then now it's like Dino Force,
Dino Charge.
They went one was Dino Thunder, and then something else.
It looks like Dino Charge because it says 2015 to now on IMDb.
Okay, Dino Charge. That's the one that was 5 of them, because the last prior ones were like 3. They cut down on some of the production, where it was just like, oh, we just have 3 main Rangers. And then eventually they recruit 2 more. Usually the formula for the last 2 has been like, instead of like 1 evil Rangers, there's 2 that eventually become good.
Mm-hmm.
But still, my favorite is Time Force. Only because the villain in that movie was the goddamn villain in Commando.
Oh, God.
Bennett?
that off some steam, Bennett.
Yeah, Bennett was like in a Power Rangers TV show. Mm-hmm. How weird is that, right?
I think the last one I saw was I think I definitely watched Space, and then I think maybe was Lost Galaxy after Space?
No, Lost Galaxy was after Turbo.
Okay. I don't think I really watched any Turbo. Like
Turbo was such a blur. I only watched it because like it followed the movie.
I just remember Space because they stole the entire like prop department from Starship Troopers.
Yeah, yeah. That was the one where there was like a replica of the Power Rangers, and someone stole like the equipment to go become Power Rangers or something like that.
Yeah,
if you remember that there was a Chinese guy in that one. It was like the guy would eventually be Archie on CSI.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, everyone's got like a weird. Everyone starts with the arc, and then it depends on how old they are now or where they dropped off on what part of the series.
Mm-hmm.
But the reboot, like, I'm excited for, only because, like, I miss, like, I guess, like, a celebrated landmark for Power Rangers, you know what I mean? Like, everyone remembers the movie. No one says it's a great movie, but everyone at least remembers it.
Yeah.
And then, like, you need, like, I guess every few years or so, just a movie just kind of have that, where it's like, this is a snapshot of our generation.
Yep, go back to Mighty Morphin, which everyone... That's the one.
I'm wondering if
do an after-credit scene where, like, the new Tommy shows up. Or it's, like, a green candle or something.
And that happened, too. I remember he had, like, a badass sword, which then he just didn't have anymore.
Like when he was evil, he had, like, the evil sword or something.
Yep.
And all of his power was contained in a candle.
Yeah, and then they were burning it.
Yeah.
Burnt down. I was like, no, Tommy.
And then Jason had to, like, fight Goldar with Tommy's shield on to, like, protect the candle or something.
That was very bizarre. So many emotions.
He got locked in that. They were constantly getting locked. Like, Goldar had that weird, like, pits. like fog-filled pits.
Yes, he did.
Anyway, so the new Power Rangers is coming out January 2017, so I'm sure we'll see more next year. And so other news, Steven Spielberg picked up the rights to the last Michael Crichton book ever released, which is Micro, which is basically Michael Crichton's Hand Shrunk to Kids. Because it's all about, like miniaturization technology and stuff.
Terrifying.
I never read it, but I think it was partially finished, and someone else had to finish it for after my parent died. But yeah, it sounds...
That's dark.
It sounds pretty crazy, where it's just, like, there's, like, this evil... Well, I don't think the company's evil, but there's, like, a guy at this company's evil, and, like, he shrinks down this, like, group of, like college kids who are, like, researching something, and then, like, they have to fight, like, giant insects, and they, like, but there's, like, this company came up with, like, miniature cars and, like, miniature planes and stuff, like, this whole, because they have this whole, like, shrinking, like, I guess, product line or something, and so it's, like, these kids in, like, mini Jeeps, like, trying to get away from, like, giant ants and, like, giant insects.
So it's reverse Ant-Man.
It's very Ant-Man. So so Spielberg has rights now. I don't know if he's gonna like make a movie himself, but it'll be like probably DreamWorks or Amblin will be like put out a movie probably at some point. Oh, there's a bunch of skits. They skipped a bunch of Michael Crichton books. They haven't gotten movies yet.
Well, Michael Crichton books, I remember, like, we talked about it, where out of nowhere they get political and, like, very preachy about things.
Where's the State of Fear novel where like where it just like it's like there's whole chapters that are just bar graphs of why climate change is fake.
Yeah, we talked about that where it's like I did not expect that from a man who wrote about fake dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, by the way, like recycling, don't believe in that bullshit. Like
you can just spray hairspray into the air, it doesn't do anything.
You can have 9 oil spills a year and the earth will clean it up itself.
Mm-hmm. All the tsunamis are just like terrorists blowing up bombs. And there was Prey, which is like about nanobots, which I'm surprised that hasn't gotten turned into a movie yet, because it wasn't like a crazy diatribe or anything. It was just like that was just like a crazy Michael Crichton thriller. Where like these nanobots go crazy and become like this like weird like predator. And then he basically made Crash, but with like genetics.
Wait, what?
He made it. It was Next, I think it was the book, and it's basically like the movie Crash, except it's all about like genetics and like people. It's all these like weird like crisscrossing like stories about like there's like a monkey who has like human DNA put into it, so it's like the first like trans species creation and stuff. And there's like this like guy who's this like person who's on the run because like this company like is like suing him because he owns their. They own his genes or something. It's like it's so much like it's just all this like crazy like about like genetics and like genetic research and, like the like the legal like what's the legal stand like side of like genetics,
like genetic rights.
Yeah, it's like who owns your cells.
I feel like that's an art house film more than like a, you know, crazy sci-fi thing.
Mm-hmm. And, he had a pirate, like Pirate Latitudes, which is basically just, it's basically just Black Sails.
Okay.
But yeah, so we might see a new Michael Crichton movie sometime here from Spielberg or someone else. And then other bits of news, we got some news about, or I guess just a statement about Daredevil Season 2 coming to Netflix next year, which basically, I think, was it Kevin, I think it might have been Kevin Feige or someone else, but he said Season 2 of Daredevil is basically Daredevil versus Punisher.
Makes me so happy that they listened.
with probably some like bullseye like lurking in the background, and they'd like
whatever.
I'm sure they'll like after like them fighting each other for like an entire season, they're like, we have to team up to stop this bullseye guy.
Bullseye.
Get ready for bullseye.
My question is like, so no Statham, but like no rumors about the other what ifs, you know?
Yeah, they haven't, like, yeah. They're just like, it's not Jason Statham, but we have no one else. We have no other ideas right now.
And, like, does he always have to be European Bullseye?
I don't
think so, but
I thought he was American, but I guess, like, I mean, what is his, like,
I think he's Irish in the original series. That's why they made Colin Farrell be like super Irish.
Well, but I mean, he could be Irish without being like a leprechaun. You
know? What are you talking about? He got introduced to a House of Pain song in the movie.
That's why I said it. Like they're gonna have to get like fucking Conor McGregor from the UFC to be Bullseye.
So, according to Wikipedia, Bullseye grew up in the Bronx.
The Irish Bronx, of course.
Yeah.
Which I'm totally fine with. Because, like, later on, Bullseye kind of, like, loses his identity anyway because he's just a mercenary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think, like, you don't really need a high-budget actor to be Bullseye if the concept is, like, you know, it's... He can be just, like, this mercenary guy, you know? He's kind of like their version of Deadshot anyway. Like, you don't need Will Smith to be Deadshot, but it'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So this, like, you don't need... You know what? Fuck it. Just get Will Smith. Like, from Suicide Squad, just, like, put this costume on. Like, now you're throwing shit.
Yeah. Just get Colin Farrell again.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah, what's he doing?
Yeah, that True Detective thing? Whatever.
No, I'm aware he's doing that, but...
Right. I'm saying, like,
he's not filming it now. I mean, they need to start filming Daredevil, like, I guess this summer? This fall, maybe?
Fall's probably cutting it close if they're gonna, like, gonna release it in, like, March again or whatever. April, yeah. When Daredevil came out last this year, so... But yeah, definitely can't wait for that one. It should be pretty awesome. I think Jessica Jones is like this fall or something this year.
I think so. Yeah, I think the goal is like every 3 months to do something,
mm-hmm.
And we're basically, or maybe 6 months at this point. But either way, we're coming up close.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll hear more at San Diego. Oh, actually, they won't be at San Diego, so.
Nope.
Anyway, last bit of news for this week is that we found out about a new Godzilla comic miniseries that's going to be coming from IDW. And it's Godzilla in Hell. And it's Godzilla literally going to hell and fighting his way through hell.
Why? Because.
Because it's awesome.
Okay. Actually, we all make mistakes.
Actually, it's the same artist who did Half Century War, which is probably the best Godzilla comic ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget who is writing it, but yeah, the AV Club had like the first look at it. It's basically just, like, Godzilla, like yeah, just falls into hell and then sees a giant, like, mountain that says, like, abandon hope all ye under here, and then, like, blows it up with his breath.
Here's what you
can
do.
I can do that.
Where is... Oh, it's a... Looks like a bunch of different... looks like a different... Like a team... Like, it's gonna be like a... Possibly a different writer, like, every issue or something. But there's cool... There's a cool, like, it looks like a... looks like Tales from the Crypt, basically. It looks like a variant issue. It looks like Satan is like some weird like horse, like centaur, like the like monster.
Okay.
So it's actually gonna be out in a couple weeks. It's gonna start on July 15th. So. So yeah, so that's it for news this week. So Joe, what have you been watching for show and tell?
Oh,
anything the last week
or so? I did. I saw National Treasure and National Treasure Book of Secrets. Why? Because.
Because Cage.
Because Nicolas fucking Cage.
Because you love America.
You know, because I'm a red-blooded American male. Yeah, man. I mean, I loved him again, but. Love him twice.
Two is a little weird, but
I mean,
like the end where it's just. But yeah, the first one is awesome. The first one is like just.
It's a very balanced movie.
Yeah,
yeah. The first one's a goddamn American classic. The second one, I mean, I don't dislike the second one. It's just, you know, not the first. You know.
Yeah. Well, they do the weird thing where it's just like. Well, we have to break up our... It's like, they're divorced now, but then they get back together again, and that's...
Yeah, like... yeah, it's very... It's very, formulaic and kind of like, wait, what? Why? Well, okay.
But 2 does have like it's the more insane Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. So they turn it up to 10.
There's a part where like he shows up at like the dinner party or whatever, like the charity event, just like, we gotta go, yeah, the Book of Secrets.
Yeah. No, they really don't hold anything back.
We gotta kidnap the president
to save the Declaration of Independence from Nazi gold, the city of gold, El Dorado.
That'll be the third one.
I wish there would be, but maybe one day. Maybe one day. And then I feel like I watched something else. National Treasure.
None of the new HBO shows yet?
No, not yet. But I have like 4 days off this weekend, so I plan on catching up on a lot of things. Yeah, I'm off from work on Friday, and then I took off Monday so I could bookend it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And other than vigorous, borderline violent masturbation, probably watching some... probably just catching up on some shit. Got some movies I want to watch. I have a Most Violent Year from Netflix. It seems interesting. Excited to give that the old college try. Definitely want to see the HBO shows. I also saw The Wedding Ringer. And let me tell you something. It was actually pretty fucking funny. And it was a case of one of those movies that is just marketed entirely the wrong way.
That's the Kevin Hart, Josh
Kevin
Gad.
Hart and Olaf. Yep. Yeah. It was just downright filthy and awesome. Like, it was kind of like, it feels like it should have been like an, I mean, I'm not saying it was as good as these, but it feels like it was kind of like a Wedding Crashers, old school, Step Brothers almost kind of vibe, where it's like really vulgar and hilarious and over the top. But like, you don't really get that from the previews.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like, you expect it to be like a feel good, like, everyone can enjoy this film kind of movie, but it's really not. Like, the twist, spoiler alert, is kind of fucked up, but also kind of hysterical. Because, like, halfway through, Josh Gad realizes that he, like, hates his fiance and that she, like, doesn't know anything about him. Like, it's really terrible. Like, it's kind of funny because you're kind of like, oh, yeah, how did a guy like that get a girl like this? And it's just because he has, like, a lot of money. You know, and like all his suspicions are kind of confirmed, and I don't know, it's just pretty funny, especially like when they turn that up, and he's like, oh, now we got like the whole second half of the movie is him figuring out like how the fuck to get out of this.
Oh, like, this
terrible fucking arrangement. Yeah, I see. I told you
it's that like is not what I thought of.
No, not at all, not at all. Like the first half of the movie, I was like, oh, this is pretty funny, and then like it's halfway through, and they're like. Getting up to the wedding, I'm like, everything is going way too well. This movie isn't like 45 minutes, is it? But I actually really enjoyed it. I wanted to see Get Hard, but I didn't. I hope to watch that this weekend. And I also hope to watch A Deadly Adoption.
Oh, that's on my list too.
Yeah, I have it recorded. I just haven't, like, I want to be able to sit there and, like, enjoy it. You know?
I heard, a couple of the reviews I read, like they were saying, like it would have been way better if it just like appeared on Lifetime and no one knew what the fuck it was.
Yeah,
because the hype of it kind of like killed it too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because the hype. I guess it doesn't live up to the hype as much as you hope, because it's way more like it's not like Spoils of Babylon crazy. It's more like super straightforward, I guess. But like the joke is that it's like it is super straightforward,
right?
That is, it's just like, look how ridiculous it is that Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig are like doing this like weird Lifetime movie and taking it seriously.
Yeah, I believe that.
Like I don't think any mannequins are gonna show up or anything in Deadly Adoption.
No, I wish they would.
Yeah. There should always just be a character that like is a mannequin and no one acknowledges it.
Has a weird like French name.
Yep.
Or what was it? It was like Dame like something.
Yeah. It was like Lady something. Yeah.
Yeah. Kristen, I can't remember if we went through this or not, but did you see Spoils of Babylon?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm just making sure. I don't want you to be missing out on the finer things.
No, I did. I watched it in a binge. That's why I was like, because I didn't catch the last second half, and I just remember it was on TV, and I marathoned through.
That's the best way to do it.
It is, but it's also very mentally exhausting.
Yes.
Like, episodes blend together, like, just references, you just forget. And then, out of nowhere, like, it just ends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome, but, like, I think I prefer watching it, like, once a week, which I think is attended to. But when you marathon it... I think it would have
been much more enjoyable that way.
Once a week or marathoning it?
Once a week. Oh, no, because I marathoned it, too, and I was sick when I watched it. So I was like, oh, I watched, like, 5 of the 6 episodes, like, back to back to back while I was, like, tripping out on NyQuil. But, like, it was awesome because I felt, like, a real connection with Eric John Rush.
Oh, yeah, like you see his vision?
I'm Eric John Rush. Like, everything he was
like you were
blending
like,
together like made sense to me, you know?
You were like living the episode where like Tobey Maguire is like OD, like is like
he's like a beat
going through withdrawals.
Yeah.
Where it just turns like a weird like 60s like black and white movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was good.
Spoiler for dying in like
I can't
a week.
Fucking wait. I can't believe it's like that close already, but I mean, I ain't complaining.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, what did you watch?
I've been watching Hannibal.
Yes.
I watched the first 3 episodes.
Get it while it's hot.
Yeah.
While it still exists.
Get it while it's still a thing. Sorry, boys.
Well, who knows? It's being rumored that, you know,
Hulu. Or Netflix or whatever.
I want Amazon to have it. I really do.
Amazon has the weird, like, streaming deal, so.
Well, they fucking have the money to make whatever they wanted. They could make a reality show about Hitler if they wanted to, and people would still watch it because it's Amazon. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
So, on the lines of that, with Hitler, I recently just started watching season 2 of Danger 5.
I still haven't watched.
Season 2?
Yeah, no, I still haven't picked up. I saw the first 2 episodes. I was like, I love this.
It's a little weird. Season 2 of it is like this awesome, like, where are they now episode after the first season.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't necessarily have to watch first season, but it's nice because it's like, oh, like, what happened? And it's like, because it's so wacky, like, they don't even explain where they are, mm-hmm. like, how long it's been.
Well, it's the 80s now. Clearly, because everyone's doing cocaine.
right. But the crazy thing is, like, wouldn't they all be, like, 40 or something? But whatever. And then, like, I'm trying to picture, like, what's the running gag of Pierre now? Like, I guess they keep changing the actor, but still keep him the same?
They just, yeah, they changed the actor and no one acknowledges it.
Okay, yeah, it's like, oh, Pierre! And he's like...
It gets... There's, like, time travel later on, and it gets crazy.
Okay. Because I'm just wondering, like, the guys who make this are having fun making this, you know? They're mm-hmm. just trying to see how many things they can get away with, and, like, what could be just hilarious.
They do a whole new running joke, where, you know, like, in the first season, like, he's constantly, getting drinks, for, like, people are dying getting drinks for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I thought they'd continue that, and they didn't do that.
Well, now it's, like, it's all, like... It's like singles and like cassettes. It's like people give him cassettes.
So I mean, it's interesting to see like how they can switch things out, but the writing is so wacky that it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm really interested to see like Italian Spider-Man, like their first TV series that they did.
Yeah.
And just to see like how their writing evolved. Or just how like how they went from like experimental to that to like this now like with a little bit more money.
Oh yeah, this is like 10 times the budget of Spider-Man.
Yeah. And what else have we been watching?
Do you someone at Kung Fury like had to have watched at least season 2 of Danger 5, right, Chris?
Yeah, this is blatantly like they looked at this and went, we could do this something like this, like you know what I mean? Like they. I love me some Kung Fury now. I love the cult that's following it, but you gotta respect Danger 5 as like one of the early prototypes of like this kind of wacky humor.
Yeah. With, like, just people with animal heads and Hitler. The whole, like, 80s, like, 80s style of season 2, definitely.
I love the fact that in the first season, in this first episode of season 2 was, like, Hitler on vacation. Because he's not wearing the, like, outfit yet. He's wearing just, like, a white suit. He looks just like a Miami, like, resident.
Yeah, just like an old man in Florida.
And, I kind of always want to take, like, screenshots of just some of the faces they have, or just, like, the titles, because it's just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so afraid someone's going to be like, what the fuck is this? You making puppets? Like, Hitler puppets? Like, no.
Yes. So, I don't know.
And, I really do like the, how, like, the production and quality looks like it's out of the 80s. Mm-hmm. You know, like, when you look at it and the sounds and everything. So
oh, it's like that with the first season, too.
It looks like it's, like, the dirty 70s.
The 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Thunderbirds.
Yep.
Exactly.
So just to watch, like, how they actually progress, like, everything, even, like, the small details, like in the credits or the openings. Yeah,
the title sequence is, like, the crazy, like, the one that's on Netflix, like, the one that is on top for Netflix for the show, where it's, like, the 80s-looking logo.
That's, mm-hmm. And then the guy in the background, that's Hitler. Like, I didn't realize that. That's an 80s Hitler. Sure, and I was like, holy shit. So.
And they do toy commercials now, instead of, like, the weird, like, mustache
show product. Yeah. So I never understood that. I was always like, oh, maybe it'll be funny if it was a tie-in to the show. But no, they're just random things sometimes. At least in this one, like, the 80s toys didn't have to make sense, and it's just pretty funny that way. Because, like, the one in the first episode, in the season 2 episode I saw, it's, like, the little Hitler, like, playset.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, during the commercial, there's, like, a father and a husband and wife, and they're just staring at their son. The wife turns to the husband's like, you bought them this? Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
That's terrible, but
and
awesome.
The kid's like, 99, 99, 99, 99. It's so inappropriate. Because, like, while that's happening, the credits are going on, so it's just like, what the hell? So, I do miss the window gag, though. They didn't do that yet. For season 2. I wonder what the season gag is now, where it's like,
season 2 doesn't really have a gag, it's just like, it just builds insanity.
Alright. Like, I'm looking forward to it. And it's easy to watch, like, you can watch, yep. Like, it's only like 6 episodes a season, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, 11 episodes a season, like that?
No, it's like 6, yeah.
Damn, alright.
The first season was 7, just because, like, they had, like, the prologue episode that was actually, like, I think it was, like, free on YouTube. Like, episode 7 of the first season is actually, like, technically the first episode.
But it's not, like, they filmed it last?
I think it might have come out before, but it came out on YouTube before, like, the actual show started, I guess, I think.
Oh.
But now on Netflix, it's like the 7th episode. But it's the one like basically it's the one like forms the team and everything.
Because I watched it out of order. I watched it from like the Netflix order, so I thought those were just a prequel like little episode that was like, explaining things. So maybe if I watch that first, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, if you watched that first, it would basically explain the entire show.
No, I went episode 1. I'm watching the last episode of season 1.
Mm-hmm.
But they should
I didn't know there was a prequel episode. I feel like left out now.
Yeah, go before you watch it again. Watch that; it explains a lot more.
God damn it!
Because I was like, oh,
it basically shows how why the team got formed.
Yeah, whatever. And then how like the tension is from the first episode, like how there's just like they just laugh, how like they're okay with each other, but there's still like tension in the air.
Hmm.
The first episode, the last episode of that season, or like episode 7. Explains that, like, especially when like Pierre's like girlfriend is like back,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In like episode 2 or 3, and it's like, oh, maybe that's something they just reference, like, you know, in this story, you know, just like, oh, pull their ass. No, it's actually referenced in the first episode, so it's like, oh, like the actual first episode explains some of this. So I'm like, or like when he first starts picking on the blonde woman. Like, when the commander...
Yeah.
he actually explains why in that episode. I was like, oh, that makes sense now. Like, ah, she's a big mouthy. We better change that. Like, and then it explains why throughout the whole first season he picks on her a lot.
Mm-hmm. So, I think someone was like, I think like, was it Tucker or someone? It was just like, man, she's got a mouth in her, doesn't she? And Colonel is just like, yeah, she does.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of thing explains like why progressively he just keeps fucking with her.
I love part where it's just, he just like doesn't say anything, just like flashes a light flashlight in her face.
I do like his sit down shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Use like one time. Everyone sit down. And he pulls out the shotgun and everyone's like, oh.
Now you know I don't like to use the dumb shotgun.
Again, I just love that. It's like a one-time gag, and it's just like a throwaway.
Yeah, it's amazing. Everyone, like if you have Netflix, like you should go watch Danger 5 like right now. It'll take you like 4 hours to watch the entire show. Anything else, Chris?
No, that's about it. Watching, oh, you know.
What do you think of Hannibal so far? Because you kind of just, like, glossed over it, but...
Only because it kind of does that to me. Mm-hmm. It kind of glosses over a few details. Like,
well, they're going,
how did everyone live?
They're going whole hog into, like, just, like, crazy visuals.
The visuals are good. Don't get me wrong. I have an issue with just, like... So, how did everyone just walk away okay from this? Like, mm-hmm. everyone, almost everyone walked away. Like, everyone important walked away.
Mm-hmm. It was Hannibal's plan.
No, it wasn't. I think it was, they keep bullying up, but no, it's like Hannibal's like, I should have shot them. Like, I should have started using guns. You know, that was I was assuming that he was like, he didn't make, not to spoil so much, but it's like, at the end of season one, he, like, brutally injures everyone.
Well,
and it's
season
like,
two.
Oh, and it's season two, right? So it's like, season three, you don't know who's going to be, like, okay. A lot of characters just come back. And a lot of Americans are just like, we just don't want to hunt Hannibal. Even though he caused a massacre in this, like, building and, like, everyone's injured. And I don't know how the hell, like, the FBI doesn't just, they know where he is half the time.
Yeah, everyone just is able to find him, basically.
Yeah. So I'm like, what the and no one fact-checked where he came from? No one fact-checked, like, where his home was? You know, his creepy-ass home that he has in that, like, haunted hill place?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Up to that episode where they introduce Lady whatever her name is.
Yeah, I don't think it's fully, like, Lady Murasaki, but it's kind of, like, their version of her, I think.
It's their version, but I'm just like, why are you here? You're pretty far from Japan, lady. You're in the middle of, like, Rome?
It's is it, like, Bulgaria or something, or...
Something. I'm just like, why are you here and you don't speak the language, I guess? I don't know. Just hunting pheasants all day?
Yeah.
That's all you do? I'm up to that episode where Will, quote-unquote, frees her, and now I'm just like, I'll catch up, but I'm just like, this took so long because they glance over like one or two points, and I really don't like the fact that they play with the viewer a lot for the first episode,
mm-hmm.
the first or second episode, where it's like, ah, like this isn't reality, and then Hannibal just kind of like, I have to eat Will to forgive him. Like,
Oh, and then there's, like, the crazy, like the skinless, like, stag thing that, like,
comes to life. It just chases Will a little bit.
Yeah.
Fuck is this?
That was literally from, like, Silent Hill or something.
That was cool, but I didn't understand the meaning of it. And then...
Well, I think it was, like, Will was, like, realizing, like... It was
Hannibal's back.
Hannibal's, or it was Hannibal's like signature or whatever.
His brain couldn't show him a less violent signal. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like things like that only make sense when he's really deep into like breaking down the psyche. I get that for the first two seasons are good about that. This one, for no goddamn reason, does he have these nightmares. Unless he has syphilis again.
Encephalitis, yeah.
Whatever. Like, then I really fucking hate that clock thing that I just didn't I didn't get that either, where like he has to write the time. Well, remember that?
It's like, yeah, that's like a psychological test.
Where it's like you have to look at your time and look at the paper to see if the time matches your clock can. Something like that.
Well, it's if you're supposed to like draw a clock, and then if you're like if you have psychological like certain psychological issues, like you have no like space, like you have like no like spatial recognition or something, or you have like no like because like when we looked at it, it looked right, and then you actually see what he drew, and it's just like this like scribbling.
Okay.
So it shows like neurological disorders. I think it's like a test.
Okay, like I mean that kind of I guess that, but it also gives him like a great insight to crazy people because he can think of, like a crazy person, which I get. But then when you throw in these really weird visuals that like I just need to understand plot. Don't give me metaphors yet. You know what I mean? That's the thing. When I was like craving like some details about the plot, they'll mention shit in whispers.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they go heavily visually, it doesn't do anything about what they're talking about. It's just, it's Will losing his fucking mind. Like, the clock thing shows up for a split second, but then it bursts into flame. So I'm like, okay.
Or just, like, oceans of blood, or, like, just, yeah. Like...
Oh, but, like, no, I get oceans of blood. That's a very direct visual. But then, the whole, like, teacup shattering sequence, where it's like, oh, I shattered the teacup, and it shall unshatter and come back together. I'm like, the fuck does that mean, Hannibal? I'm gonna give you a chance. I really do. But watching the show always gets me hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Like for meat, like really good meat, you know?
Well, yeah,
especially when you see.
It's like better than anything on the Food Network.
Yeah, when you watch him like slow prepare like some meat, and you know it's human, but you're like, you know, it could be like bruschetta, whatever. It could be like a nice piece of ham hock. I really love the visuals of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. When they're eating, great. But when they're not, and it's all like crazy metaphors of like lakes and fishing and like hoof monsters, I'm just like, what is this?
I love both of Hannibal's like dinner parties so far.
What university is like okay with like three or four of their professors just disappearing? You know what I mean? They're just like, oh, I need a job. So he like kills his way into this Italian like school.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what happened to all these old professors or TAs? Oh, you want some lunch? Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
No investigation.
It is. It's taking its time. And I'm just wondering like how in the hell with everything else is going on, like how they're going to introduce like Francis Dolarhyde, because they're supposed to be like, he's supposed to show up, like Red Dragon's supposed to show up. So it's just like, but like, it's already four episodes in, and it's like a 10 episode season. So it's just like, when is this going to happen?
And another thing is, Hannibal, like, he's aware of Francis, right?
We don't know. He hasn't shown up at all yet.
Well, in the original thing, he was just like, oh no, that's just a guy that he's a fan of, like, some of my past killings.
Yeah, they were writing each other because Hannibal was in jail. So
right,
this is the remix universe. So who knows what's going on?
So who knows? But in this version, it's like Hannibal's kind of friends with other killers. So is he just trying to draw all killers together to hang out and see who he can eat? Like who he, of the surviving people he can eat? Is that the concept? I don't know. But it's good, mm-hmm. You know. I have a really big thing about plot in the beginning, especially when the second season left me like waiting.
Yeah, it's not a plot show. Like if you want like dense, if you want super like dense plot or like straightforward plot like sequences, then it's not that.
But if you want to put something on,
it's more like Mad Men or something, where it's just like super slow burn, like symbolism happening all over the place, and like. Just go with the flow.
That's true.
Let the visuals watch over you.
Yeah, and it's like that's it's fun, but when you're trying, but like, you know, Don Draper didn't like fucking like stab someone and just be like, well, buy some cigarettes, like, just leave. Like,
I wish he did.
I just wish there was a little bit more like, oh, so how did Will leave the country? Even though it's, he was either a suspect or like accessory. Well,
in the last season they cleared him of everything
for like a day, and then he got stabbed.
Yeah.
We'll see. How about you, Zach? What have you been watching?
Just a couple things. I got a chance to watch a review copy of L.A. Slasher, which is in a couple theaters. I think last weekend, like a couple of theaters in L.A. I think it might expand wider here, but it's sort of like a slasher movie slash like satire. Satire slash parody of like reality TV and stuff, because basically there's this vigilante killer called the LA Slasher who's going around and kind of kidnapping all the like the worst like reality stars. Like there's like a, there's basically, it's like a Paris Hilton like equivalent, there's like a Kardashian equivalent, there's like a just all kind of like all like the like worst, most like annoying
people you'd want to kill.
And so he's kind of kidnapping them all and like kind of like torturing them and like putting them through like weird challenges and like yelling at them, and then also like tweeting and live streaming about it. So then there's like this like audience who's like, yeah, go LA Slasher. It reminded me a little bit. It's not as good, but
Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
No, God Bless America.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Because it's that sort of
great movie.
It's that same like what if someone just like murdered all the most annoying people in the world?
Right on.
It's the cast is kind of crazy because it's Misha Barton, Danny Trejo, Dave Bautista, Eric Roberts, Drake Bell.
This is a mix of like rising and like lower stars, like sinking stars.
Yeah. Well, like Eric Roberts is like the sleazy like mayor of like Los Angeles, and like Danny Trejo and Dave Bautista are like a pair of like drug dealers. The weirdest thing though is that Andy Dick is the voice of the LA Slasher.
The voice?
That's really bizarre.
It's super jarring when you first hear him. It's like, whoa, what the hell is going on? And
is he like good at it, or is it Andy Dick? Is it blatantly Andy Dick?
It's blatantly Andy Dick, but he's going off on like he's doing his monologues about like reality TV and stuff, which is kind of like weirdly like hypocritical, because he's like one of the biggest like reality TV store like whores of all time. So it's just like, I don't know. It would have been better if you just like saw his tweet, if he never didn't talk at all, and just like you saw his tweets and stuff. But he does have an awesome, like, he has, like, this really awesome look where it's, just, like, he wears, like, this all-white suit and then, like, a kind of, like, a Michael Myers sort of mask. And then he has, like, all-white, like, machetes and axes and stuff. And then also, like, a really awesome soundtrack, like a 80s soundtrack. It's got, like, a bunch of, like, it's got, like, the Slasher's always, he's, like, constantly going to, like, these, like, weird, like, 80s clubs and just, like, dancing after, like, kidnapping people and stuff. Like, or he goes there to, like, find it, like, his next victim. It kind of, like, it's kind of, like, Nicholas Winding Refn, sort of. But, not, like, it's not quite, like, it doesn't attack things as, like, hard as it probably could have. Like, it's not, it doesn't get anywhere near, like, God Bless America level, where it's just, like, it's not, like, the people aren't, like, the faux like reality stars are not like as like over the top as they could have been, probably. Like, it's just like they kind of just like make the comparison and that's it. It's just like, hey, look, it's like, this is like Paris Hilton, and it's just like, okay,
very well.
Thank you, movie. I got that. But it's okay. The actual, like, the social media stuff is, like, I think way stronger than, like, the reality TV stuff. Like, there's a ton of great, like, they nail, like, the tone of, like, all the, like, the horrible tweets that people send out. Like, there's, like, terrible hashtags and, like, all these, like, at like Arrow applies to people, which are really well done. And then they kind of nail like all the people who be like, there's like the, all these on the street interviews of people about like, what do you think of the LA slasher? And everyone's like, yeah, he's doing awesome. Go slasher. Woo. So yeah, I don't know, if it's going to be like wide anytime soon, but, it might be worth checking out if you're like, if you want to like, if you're like super pissed off about reality TV or something.
I always,
you know, me. Yeah.
And then also I watched, finally watched Area 51, the long on the shelf Oren Peli found footage movie.
And now we know why.
Yeah. Oh, did you see it, Joe?
No, but okay. I heard everything I needed to.
Yeah, it's not that great. It takes forever to get to Area 51. Like, it's like 40 minutes probably. I'm just like gathering supplies and like doing that. It's just like there's so much setup to like get to Area 51. It's just like, all we want to see is you
go, fucking yeah, go.
All we want to see is you breaking into the base. Like, we don't need to see like all this like fucking setup of like, look, here's these suits I bought. They're like, you pump gas into and it hides their body temperature.
Neat.
Now we have to go break into this guy's house and steal his ID badge for the base. And like, we have to go meet with these creepy guys who like have plans for the base. And it's just like, just get to the base. Yeah, and then there's some okay stuff. And when they finally get to the base and they're like in the lower level, and there's like some weird like alien technology that they find, and then they find like a UFO. Never see any actual aliens.
Oh,
which is like figure. Really weird. Like, what's the point if we're not gonna see aliens? And just another weird like found footage ending where it's just like, like how the camera ends up being found is just like really strange.
Is it aliens?
It has something to do with aliens, yeah, but it's just like, it's really weird. So yeah, I would say probably skip that one. Probably I would say see Extraterrestrial instead, which is kind of the same thing, but not found footage, and it's slightly better. And it's also on Netflix, so you can watch that much easier near Area 51.
Indeed.
And then the last thing is I watched, for the latest entry into Autopilot, is I watched the first episode of Seinfeld, because that's all on Hulu now. Which, have you guys seen the first episode of Seinfeld recently?
No, not in a long time.
It's super weird. Like, it's like the bizarro, it's like when they talk about the bizarro, like, world later, like, this is like bizarro Seinfeld. Where it's like they don't go to the coffee shop, they go to like this weird diner, and there's no Elaine, and Kramer is Kessler, not Kramer. It's like,
really?
Yeah,
I totally forgot. No, I know that much. Yeah. Yeah.
So the first episode, Kramer is like Kessler, and he has a dog, and he's just weird. Like, he's never left the apartment building in like 10 years, and like just shows up at like 1 a.m. to like get meat from Jerry for a sandwich. Like, he has nothing like Kramer that would develop later. And then George is like weirdly competent and like not neurotic at all. And he's the one giving like Jerry advice about like what like various like gestures mean when he's like, because the whole plot of the first episode of Seinfeld is that there's this woman flying in from Michigan that Jerry met like at a club, and then he's not sure, he's trying to like interpret like what all of her like phone conversations are, and like George has this whole list of like what, like if when she shows up at the airport, like what her various like gestures mean. And there's a ton of like, there's a ton of Jerry stand up in that first episode. Like, it's like three extended like stand up sequences in the pilot.
And it's actually at that club, that mystery club.
I don't know if it's the same club it's always at, but it's like, yeah, it's like a random club. It's like the beginning of the episode, the middle episode, and the end of the episode is like a, there's like stand up sections. But I'd say it's worth checking out as like a weird, like weird piece of history. There's also like there's a this waitress. So they go to this. It's like Pete's Diner, and it's not like it's not Monk's. In the first episode, it's like this completely different place, and there's a waitress there who's supposed to be who's going to be like a regular on the show, but then they got the second episode they added Elaine, so they didn't need like a because she was supposed to be like the female kind of like co-star of everything, and then they were like, I think it was because like
they wiped her name from the credits.
Yeah, basically. Because basically, I think they were thinking like, because she's a waitress, so that she would never be like a part of the gang. That she would always be like this service person that they would just be talking to. So they made Elaine as like an equal to them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely, it's on Hulu. You can go. It's like a weird piece of Seinfeld history. Go check that out. And that's going to do it for me, so I think we can probably wrap this thing up for the week. Unless there's anything else you guys think that we need to talk about. Definitely go check out on the site. We have our Enter the Ninja commentary up right now. Nice. So you can check out that. Also have the July movie preview up, so you can check out what's coming out this month for movies. And, yeah, so I think that's going to do it for this week's show for... Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action. Twitter.com/EVAction. Everythingaction.tumblr.com. And search for us on the iTunes Music Store and Stitcher.com.